Welcome to the Sunshine Nutraceuticals podcast with your host, pharmacist Michael, where you learn everything about happy, healthy living. Now, here's your host, pharmacist Michael.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sunshine Nutraceuticals podcast. This is episode number 17, and today I'm going to talk a little bit about bipolar disorder. So bipolar disorder is a chronic disorder, and it's characterized by fluctuations in the mood state and energy of the person. It often results in functional and cognitive impairment. We do know that these patients have a reduction in their quality of life, and they also have a high risk of suicide. Now, bipolar disorder affects more than 2.6% of the adults in the United States. And there's more than one type of bipolar disorder. There's bipolar 1 and there's bipolar 2. Bipolar 1 affects more men, and bipolar 2 affects more women. This disorder generally starts in the mid-20s to 30s. Now, what causes bipolar disorder? We think it's a result of an imbalance in the serotonergic, noradrenergic, and especially dopaminergic neurotransmitters. Bipolar means two mood states, right? We have mania and we have depression. Mania, we think, is due to excessive norepinephrine and dopamine, and the depression, we believe, is a deficiency of serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. So let's talk a little bit about the phases. Mania is a persistently elevated or irritable mood, and this mood disturbance is severe enough to cause marked impairment in functioning or hospitalization. Hypomania is a persistently elevated or irritable mood, but it's not severe enough to cause impairment in social or occupational functioning, and it's also not likely to lead to hospitalization. Now, if you think of the signs and symptoms of mania, we can use dig fast, D is for distractibility, I is for insomnia, G, grandiosity, F is flight of ideas, A is activity or hyperactivity, S is speech, and T is thoughtlessness. Now, I can tell you that manic patients often take unnecessary risks. These risks might be gambling risks. They may be sexual risks. But a lot of people with mania take unnecessary risks, and they also tend to try to treat themselves with alcohol. Now, the depression phase is basically the same as a DSM-5 for major depression disorder. And you think of these as depressed mood, sleep, loss of interest. These patients often feel guilty. They have a lack of energy, poor concentration. Their appetite is either non-existent, very little, or they may eat too much. They may have psychomotor effects and, of course, suicidal thoughts. Now, let's talk a little bit about the subtypes. Bipolar 1, you must have at least one or more full-blown manic episodes with or without depression. If you're ever hospitalized for bipolar disorder, you're automatically bipolar 1. Bipolar 2, there must be one or more major depressive episodes with at least one hypomanic, which is a minor episode. Rapid cyclers have four or more episodes within 1 year, and mixed episodes are mania, hypomania, and depressive episodes occur nearly every day, both mania and depression, for at least 1 week. Now, how do we treat bipolar disorder? The choice of our treatment depends on the most present manifestation phase of bipolar disorder. So It's different based on whether the patient is acutely manic, acutely depressed, or mixed. What we generally use are mood stabilizers and second-generation antipsychotics. So the mood stabilizers are lithium, Depakote or valproic acid, Lamictal or lamotrigine, and Tegretol or carbamazepine. The most common second-generation antipsychotics that we use are Seroquel or quetiapine, Risperdal or Risperidone, and Zyprexa or olanzapine. So what do the guidelines say? For acute manic and mixed episodes, we're going to want to start with lithium or Depakote, or we can use Risperidal, Paliperidone, olanzapine, quetiapine, aripiprazole, Zyprexidone, or Isoniazid. We can also combine lithium or Depakote with Risperidal, quetiapine, olanzapine, aripiprazole, or Isoniazid. Now, how do we decide what we're going to use? If the patient's manic, generally speaking, we're always going to look at lithium or Depakote. And the way we decide what we're going to use is, one, have they tried something in the past? Did it work or not work? Two, do they have any kidney problems? If their kidneys are not functioning well, then lithium is not a good choice. Three, do they have any liver problems? If they have liver issues, then Depakote is not a good choice. Our second line treatments for manic and mixed episodes are electroconvulsive therapy, Tegretol, or Haldol, a combination of lithium and Depakote. Now, we treat people who are depressed with bipolar differently. So our monotherapy would be lithium, Lamictal, or quetiapine. And our combinations would be lithium or Depakote with bupropion, which is Wellbutrin, lithium or Depakote with an SSRI, or olanzapine with an SSRI. Now, it's important to realize that we have to be very careful with SSRIs with bipolar patients. And the reason for that is if we don't combine the SSRI with a mood stabilizer like lithium or divalproex, we can push the person from depression into mania, which is definitely not an ideal situation. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the drugs we use specifically, because I am a pharmacist, and I think a lot of people that are listening to this want the expertise on the actual drugs. So let's start with lithium. Lithium remains the most effective treatment for preventing a relapse to mania in bipolar 1 disorder. It also reduces the risk of suicide and is neuroprotective. Lithium is less effective for the depression phase, rapid cycling, or mixed phases. The problem with lithium is it has a very narrow therapeutic index, which means the amount in the blood you need to actually make it effective is very close to the toxic level. So if the patient's having a full-blown manic episode, we're going to shoot for a blood level as high as 1.2 to 1.5 milliequivalents per liter. If it's an acute manic episode, we would like to be between 0.8 and 1.2. And if it's maintenance therapy, we're going to shoot for 0.6 to 1 milliequivalents per liter. And to get this, we would normally start with a dose of 300 to 600 milligrams per day. How long does it take for lithium to work? About 6 to 10 days. So these drugs don't work right away. It takes a little bit of time. Now, what are some of the side effects of lithium? Well, we can have fine tremor, confusion, or decreased coordination. And of course, these are concentration dependent. So the higher the concentration in the blood, the worse these side effects are going to be. There are some effects on your heart. It can slow your heart rate, cause arrhythmias, and prolong what we call the QTC interval. And if this gets too long, that can lead to arrhythmias. It can cause problems with your gut, nausea, dry mouth, and thirst. Lithium can also lead to hypothyroidism and weight gain. And like we talked about before, it's kind of hard on your kidneys. It can lead to acute kidney injury with toxicity and maybe even chronic kidney damage. The toxicity is dose dependent. So what you're going to look for originally is coarse tremor, urinating often, and mild thirst. When you start getting to 1.5 to 2 milliequivalents per liter, diarrhea, vomiting, drowsiness, decreased coordination and muscle weakness. For serum level of 2 to 2.5, we're going to end up with ataxia, blurred vision, tinnitus, and changes in your EKG. And if we go over 3 milliequivalents per liter, it can lead to seizures, coma, and neurological changes. There are also many drug interactions with lithium. I won't list them here. If you have any questions about those, remember you can always email me at sunshine.nutraceuticals@yahoo.com. The second drug we're going to talk about is Depakote or valproic acid. Also, it can be known as Depakine. Depakote is a different, it's divalproex, but it basically is the same drug. Compared to lithium, Depakote is somewhat less effective at the prevention of relapse of mania, but it may be more effective in mixed episodes and rapid cyclers. It can actually work a little quicker. Its onset could be within 3 days. And I'm going to tell you that Depakote is not one of my favorite drugs for a lot of reasons, but the biggest one is the side effect profile. And there are certain groups of people that Depakote is not a good choice in unless you really, really need to use it. Anybody with liver problems, for one, but it can cause hair loss, and it can also cause weight gain in up to 50% of the people who use it, and not just a little bit of weight gain, but 6 to 8 kilograms. That's a lot of weight. It can also lead to hyperammonemia, which is increased ammonia in your blood. And this can lead to confusion. A lot of people end up in the hospital because of this. It can have effects on your white blood cells. It can cause sedation, tremor, dizziness, lots of GI effects, nausea and vomiting, diarrhea, constipation. It can also lead to pancreatitis. There are boxed warnings for Depakote. We can't really use it, or we shouldn't be using it in patients who are pregnant, patients with pancreatitis, and patients with hepatic or liver failure. Now let's talk a little bit about Lamictal or Lamotrigine. This one is more effective against bipolar depression and rapid cycling. You'll see a lot of bipolar depressed patients on Lamictal. We have to be careful with this one. It demands a very slow titration. We start at a low dose, 12.5 to 25 milligrams a day, and increase it weekly. If the patient's also taking Depakote, we need to reduce this dose by 50%, and we're not going to want to go over 100 milligrams per day. The max recommended dose for patients not on Depakote is 200 milligrams per day. And the reason that we need to start very slow and titrate slow is because Lamictal can cause really severe rashes. And some of these can actually be deadly. Steven Johnson syndrome is a very severe rash. It's also got the GI effects, the CNS effects, and although rare, it can cause aseptic meningitis, which is super dangerous. If you're using any estrogens with Lamictal, it decreases the efficacy of this drug by 50%. And we already said that using Depakote may increase its levels. Carbamazepine or Tegretol may be more effective with rapid cycling or mixed episodes, but it has less effect on the manic phase. there are extensive drug interactions with Tegretol. And the interesting thing about Tegretol is it actually induces its own metabolism. So after you've taken it for 3 to 5 days, you need to increase the dose. And it's one of the only drugs that I know that does this. And I think it's interesting, but again, not an ideal situation. There's also a risk of Stevens-Johnson syndrome with this one, but it's mainly in Asian populations. So we need to be really careful when we use this drug too, because those rashes can be deadly. We do know that Tegretol by itself is less effective than lithium. It has little effect on depression relapse, and the dose range for Tegretol is 400 to 1200 milligrams per day. There are several boxed warning with Tegretol: fatal hypersensitivity reactions, anemia and agranulocytosis. It's toxic to the liver. It can cause low levels of salt in your blood. It does increase the risk of suicidality. It is teratogenic, so pregnant patients should not take it. There's also a withdrawal seizure risk. This drug takes about a week to start to work. Okay, most of you guys know that I am board certified in psychiatry, so the antipsychotics are one of my favorite classes of drugs. And within bipolar disorder, the first generation antipsychotics are very effective against acute mania, and the second generation antipsychotics are approved for acute mania or mixed episodes. All of them except brexpiprazole, clozapine, and iloperidone. Now that may change. The FDA approved indications for drugs change all the time. It just basically depends on studies and how long it takes the FDA to recommend use for certain conditions. We do know that clozapine, although not FDA approved for use in bipolar disorder, does have some data supporting its use in resistant bipolar disorder. Clozapine really is the most effective antipsychotic that we have, but it usually is not used, well, it's never used right away. We would always try other agents first. And the reason for that is because clozapine can cause agranulocytosis, and it can be very dangerous. If that happens, it's rare, but when it happens, it's very bad. So our antipsychotics are often used with a mood stabilizer for acute mania. We also use injectable drugs for mania associated with psychosis and to calm down mania patients who get hospitalized. And the drugs that we generally use for this are Zyprexa or olanzapine, Geodon or ziprasidone, and Haldol or haloperidol. And the adverse effects of these are sedation, hyperglycemia. They can cause hyperlipidemia. Most of them have pretty extensive anticholinergic effects. And there's always a risk of orthostatic hypotension. EPS is also a problem, extrapyramidal side effects. So movement disorders, especially with the first generation antipsychotics like Haldol, we see it less with the second, but sometimes when you get EPS, it doesn't go away. So the warnings with the atypical antipsychotics or the second generation ones are metabolic syndrome, the risk of diabetes, weight gain, and dyslipidemia. So another thing that I want to point out very quickly is if you look at an overview of the bipolar agents, their anti-manic effect, their antidepressant effect, and the prevention of both of these, you see that the three drugs that are the most effective at all of these things together are Seroquel. It's the most effective. Second would probably be olanzapine or Zyprexa. And lithium would be the third. I'm just pointing that out because a lot of these drugs only work for one condition They may be really good at preventing depression or mania. They may be really good at actually treating depression or mania. But those three drugs do well in all categories. Before I go any further, I want to introduce you to my company, Sunshine Nutraceuticals. You can find it at www.sunshinentc.com. Sunshine Nutraceuticals was started in the summer of 2019, and we are an online company. We have an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. We have very competitive prices. Our products are very high quality. We have free shipping within the United States, and our company is ran by me, a licensed pharmacist with almost 34 years of experience. I try to really press customer service, and I actually talk to my customers. If you email me at sunshine.nutraceuticals@yahoo.com, I'd be happy to look over your drug regimen and give you tips of what I think might help, tweaks in your regimen. I'm not a doctor, so I'm always going to want you to check with your doctor first. But if you have conditions, especially psychiatric conditions, I can help find things that some doctors might miss. Also, I can tell you what supplements in my store may help you. If you use the coupon code PODCAST, PODCAST, you can get 10% off your entire order. Now, I know this has been a lot to digest on bipolar disorder, but to be honest, this is just scratching the surface. There's many more drugs we use, and there's a lot more to know about it. But I wanted to do an overview for you. I may do some updates to bipolar disorder, maybe one just talking about mania, maybe one just talking about depression, maybe one giving you tips and tricks of how to live with this disorder. Our take-home points from this podcast are: the gold standard for the prevention of manic episodes is still lithium. It also may reduce risk of suicide in bipolar patients. And lithium is really the only drug that has been shown to decrease suicide risk. The standards of care are lithium, valproic acid, and the second generation antipsychotics. Quetiapine and olanzapine, compared to the other second generation antipsychotics, may have the most anti-manic and antidepressant effects. We talked about that. Mood stabilizers often require close monitoring and adherence. Adherence is important. Make sure you're taking your drugs as prescribed by your physician. Don't skip doses. Don't double up on your doses. Be sure you follow directions. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast on bipolar disorder. And I would also invite you to send me an email at sunshine.nutraceuticals@yahoo.com about what you would like to hear on this podcast. And if you would like to be someone who is interviewed on here, if you have a psychiatric disorder, bipolar disorder, any type of disorder, actually, I would love to interview you. And just let me know. And I hope you guys have a great week. I hope you've learned something from this. I know this has been a long episode, but a lot of people have been asking for information on bipolar disorder, and that's why I decided to cover it this week. Have a happy, healthy summer week. And remember, always take care of yourself. I will see you next week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Sunshine Nutraceuticals podcast. Visit us today at www.sunshinentc.com. Have a happy, healthy life.